ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Chapter 1, Observing the Amis, text 36. I first read the Sanskrit. Papam aves avivasrayat asman hat vaitam atataina. Tasmannagavayam antam dahtarashtran sabandhavam svajanam mikatam hatva sukhinasyamam madhava. If we can repeat together the word for word translation. Papam.
Papam.
Vices. Eva, certainly, Asrayat
must come upon
Asman,
us,
Atva,
by killing.
Etan, all these.
Atataina,
aggressors.
Tasmat.
Therefore.
Na.
Never.
Achta.
Deserving.
Vayam.
We.
Hantum.
To kill.
Dhritarashtran.
The sons of Dhritarashtra.
Sabandhavan.
Along with friends,
Svajanam.
Kinsman.
He.
Certainly.
Katam.
How.
Hatva.
By killing.
Sukhina.
Happy.
Shyam.
Will we become.
Madhav.
O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune.
Now,
translation. Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore, it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune? And how could we be happy by killing our kinsman? Purport. According to the Vedic injunctions, there are six kinds of aggressors. A poison giver, one who sets fire to the house, one who attacks with deadly weapons, one who plunders riches, one who occupies another's land, and one who kidnaps a wife. Such aggressors are at once to be killed, and no sin is incurred by killing such aggressors. Such killing of aggressors is quite befitting an ordinary man, but Arjuna was not an ordinary person. He was saintly by character, and therefore he wanted to deal with them in saintliness. This kind of saintliness, however, is not for a Kshatriya. Although a responsible man in the administration of the state is required to be saintly, he should not be cowardly. For example, Lord Ram was so saintly that people even now are anxious to live in the kingdom of Lord Ram. Ram Raj! But Lord Ram never showed any cowardice. Ravan was an aggressor against Ram because Ravan kidnapped Ram's wife Sita. But Lord Ram gave him sufficient lessons unparalleled in the history of the world. In Arjuna's case, however, One should consider the special type of aggressors, namely his own grandfather, own teacher, friends, sons, grandsons, etc. Because of them, Arjuna taught that he should not take the severe steps necessary against ordinary aggressors. Besides that, saintly persons are advised to forgive. Such injunctions for saintly persons are more important than any political emergency. Arjuna considered that rather than kill his own kinsmen for political reasons, it would be better to forgive them on the grounds of religion and saintly behavior. He did not, therefore, consider such killing profitable, simply for the matter of temporary bodily happiness. After all, kingdoms and the pleasures derived therefrom are not permanent, so why should he risk his life and eternal salvation by killing his own kinsmen? Arjuna's addressing of Krishna as Madhav, or the husband of Goddess of Fortune, is also significant in this connection. He wanted to point out that Krishna, as the husband of Goddess of Fortune, he should not induce Arjuna to take up a matter which would ultimately bring about misfortune. Krishna, however, never brings misfortune to anyone, to say nothing of his devotees. I read the verse again. Papam evasrayat asman atvaitam atataina tasman arta vayamantum tartarascham sabandhavam svajanam ikatam hatva sukhena syama madhava. Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband of the Goddess of Fortune, and how could we be happy by killing our own kinsman? Mahyana Timrandasya, Jnanjana, Shnakya, Shakshri, Militam Yena, Tasmai, Shikaro, Venama, Chichitaya, Manavisam, Stavtam Yena, Bhutaleshvam, Rupkadamyam, Dadatisvam, Padantikam, Vandiyam Shiru Shiyuda Padakamlam Shirum Vaishnavamsa Shirupam Sarjatam Satam Rahnatam Fitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parishana Saitam Krishna Stanya Devam Shirada Krishna Padam Sakalita Shivshakam Fitamsa E Krishna Kona Sinudino Bandhujat Patiko Pesha Kupka Kantara Kantana Mastate Tapta Kantana Kauran Hiradi Vanaifinda Vanashvri Vishvana Siddha Devi Panamai Hari Priya Vankra Kalapta Visha Kripasan Vivisha Patnam Bhavan Vyo Vaisna Vyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Chi Advaita Kadada Shivan Santi Kaurava Bhakta Vinna Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Charasamrita Namne. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamrita Namne. Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gaurvani Pracharini Nirvishesana Vadi Paskachai Tisatarni Chima Prabhupada. In this verse, Arjuna is admitting all the Kauravas, that Duryodhana and all his brothers were aggressors. Six types of aggressors are mentioned in the Vedas. That first is a poison giver. That you see that as Bhima, Bhima had a special relationship with his cousins, the 100 Kauravas. That was a little playful Bhima, very strong. His all his cousins were in climbed into trees, and yes, Bhima went to the trees and started to move the tree. And some of his cousins fell out, and some broke their arms. And anyway, yes. So they did not like Bhima very much. And one day they invited Bhima, and they said, "Yes, we have made a big cake for you." And they presented them the cake. But the cake was poisoned, was heavy poison inside. But Bhima accepted the cake, and he ate a big part of the cake. And Bhima is known as a voracious eater. That he could eat a lot. So he ate the whole cake. He ate the whole cake, and then after that, he felt a little sleepy. He said, "Oh, I will need to take some rest." And due to the poison, he fell in a deep sleep. Hare Krishna, welcome. So Bhima ate a whole poisoned cake, fell in a very deep sleep. And all the Kaurava brothers took Bhima with great difficulty, and they threw him in the river, and their Bhima sank to the bottom. Finally, after some time, he woke up, and his digestion was so strong that he digested all the poison came out of the water. But they tried to poison Bhima, that was very clear. A second type of aggression is one sets fire to the house. They invited the Pandavas to a kind of provincial house. But when they were invited to stay there and rest and take vacation holiday. But when they were in the house, it had a special smell. It was all made of black. Very flammable material, and Vidura had warned them, "Be careful! The house, they will put fire on the house." Anyway, when the house was put on fire, they escaped to a tunnel, and then they came out of the tunnel, and their Bhima, he took. The Draupadi and the Pandavas in his arms and started running far away. And then later he met a man eater who was a Rakshasa who was attacking them. There are so many stories of the Pandavas, but they tried to poison Bhima, they try to set their house on fire. That's one attacks with deadly weapons. Yes, so many fights that one who plunders riches, Kauravas in the gambling match just took everything away from plundered everything by their cheating gambling. So one who occupies another's land, that's what they did, And one who kidnaps a wife, so we know what happened with Draupadi. So they did all these six kinds of aggressions for all criminal acts. Even in our society today, it would be criminal acts. If you poison someone, then I think you will get some reaction. You try to kidnap one's wife, or you attack someone with deadly weapons. It would be the same, I think. So the Kauravas were, according to the Vedic standards, they were aggressors, and today they would also be criminals. So it was just right for Arjuna to punish him. He was Kshatriya. Kshatriya means administrator, authority, police, army, everything. They were the authority, the rulers. They tried to gain Draupadi through the full means of gambling, and this way kidnap her. So in each count they were due to be killed according to Dharma Shastra. But now, in this verse, Arjuna gives two reasons for not to fight. The first reason we heard was compassion, right? You remember that. He felt great compassion and even went to it. And the second reason was, we heard last time, was enjoyment. I will not be able to enjoy. And he continues that also here. He said, what should we gain? He says, there is nothing to gain. And he gives a third reason, is it's saying we will get sin. I will read what Purnachandra Maharaj says about that. This verse is a mixture of the second and the third reason. But the third reason is the first thing he says, Papam Evam. There will certainly be sin. If we kill this Atatayina aggressors, because although in Arthashastra it mentions that there is no sinful reactions for killing aggressors, which are of six types and are mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the commentary, when we attack with deadly weapons and arson, with fire or with poison, or steals one's health, wealth, land or one's wife, these six things. So if anyone does that according to Arthashastra, you can kill them, and there is no sinful reaction. So Krishna says, why are you so sure if Arthashastra says the opposite? Then Arjuna says, but Dharma Shastra is higher. And Dharma Shastra says there is sin in killing. So, see, Arjuna starts to argue on the basis of Shastra, and says, one should never kill one's relatives and friends under any circumstance. We understand from Mahabharata that actually the Kauravas had committed all six of these categories of Atatayina. Bhishma was administered poison when in Varnavata they tried to kill him with fire. They attacked them with deadly weapons also various times. They tried during the gambling match. They stole all their wealth and their land, and they tried to take their own life by the mercy of Shakuni, who is probably the most interesting character in the Mahabharata. Krishna told the Pandavas that Shakuni is actually our best ally And the Pandavas could not understand that. So Shakuni, his family members were put in prison by the Kauravas. So Shakuni wanted to destroy the Kauravas. And how did he do that? He promised to fight at the side of the Kauravas, but he instigated, or he caused enmity with the Pandavas. And he knew Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas. So if there ensued a fight between these two parties, then Krishna will and the Pandavas will destroy all the Kauravas, and they will win because Krishna is on their side. That was his way to take revenge. So therefore, Kunshpurna Chandamaras says here that he is maybe the most interesting character in the Mahabharata. That's because the Kauravas had put his family members into prison, so this is his sneaky way to start this war against the Pandavas. He actually, in a very secret way, destroyed the whole Kaurava family. So here Krishna is also called Madhav. So this Madhav means husband of the goddess of fortune. And Arjuna is calling Krishna Madhav because says you know what's good for me. So why do you ask me to do this to kill them? They are my relatives. I'm going to get sinful reactions for that. So we see here Arjuna is arguing on the basis of Shastra. He's a pandit, he knows all these Shastras. Otherwise, how can you do? You must know the Shastras. Artha Shastra and Dharma Shastra Artha Shastra says you can kill these aggressors. And Arjuna says, no. Dharma Shastra is higher. And Dharma Shastra says, if we kill these aggressors, we are going to get sin. And reactions, heavy reactions. Because according to Dharma Shastra, killing of relatives is sinful. Of course, this is all in the bodily conception of life. It means in the conception of good and bad. Good reactions, bad reactions. And that's the conception, the bodily conception of life, because who is going to benefit of the good and the bad reactions? The body. And to get these reactions, we need to take birth again and take again bodies. So in reality, what he proposes here is violence to the soul. May be good for bodies, which we are not, but it's violence to the soul. And therefore Krishna speaks the whole Bhagavad Gita to explain how to act without getting reactions. Act in a renounced way, which Arjuna will misunderstand in the beginning, because he thinks renunciation, that's something like I'm renouncing, I'm studying Vedanta, and I stop acting, I renounce. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita further, that will not help. Still, you will get reactions. One must act in Krishna consciousness. Act in a way that one does not get reactions. And how is that? What is this acting in a renounce way? Hiyasa nitya sannyasi yona dveshti nakankshati. The acting renounced will means that one does not hanker for results, or one does not not dveshti nakankshati, or does not. It's not averse. Does not hate the work. That does not hate, and does not hanker. It does it out of duty, just of duty. And what is the duty on the soul level? Is to serve Krishna. Just do it as a sacrifice. That's how Krishna explained in the third chapter. You have to do all your work as a sacrifice. Shaknarta kam noyatra loko dokriyam karma bandana. You have to do your sacrifice for Vishnu, otherwise you get reactions. It will bind you this amount. So that's the whole thing of Bhagavad Gita. That's acting in Krishna consciousness for the pleasure of Krishna, and there is no sin. If you don't act for the pleasure of Krishna, there is sin reactions and so on. And then this Dharma Shastra, the Artha Shastra, so many Shastras that, and one is higher and lower, and then to act correctly to get in the next life, the reactions the good credits, that's the cycle of sacrifice, the karma kamla, and that's an important teaching in Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna condemns this karma kamla in Bhagavad Gita very strongly, especially the worship of demigods, that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who worship these demigods, they are alpamedasam. They have little intelligence, because their vidi apurvakam, their worship is misplaced, because they are asking for material benefits for the demigods, but Krishna says, I give these benefits, they are coming from me, and if one wants to worship a demigod, I will make his faith stronger so that he becomes dedicated to these demigods. So Krishna does all these things. Demigods are living entities, jivas, as like we. And Krishna is also in their heart, but they are empowered administrators in the universe, very powerful, and they helped Krishna with the administration of the universe by conducting material energy, by helping to administrate so many departments, 33 million demigods. That's created by Brahma. There are different sets, but it's amazing that. But this karma kanda, this cycle of sacrifice, is so arranged that. These are the two paths described in the Vedas. Pravritti mach, that's one. Nivritti mach. The pravritti mach, it means the path of enjoyment. And living entities came to the material world to be the enjoyer, although Krishna is the only enjoyer. Therefore, they had to forget him and brought in illusion that. Then the Vedas explain, you came here to enjoy, to play God on your level, okay, you get the opportunity here, but you have to follow these rules. You have to do it in a religious way, and that's the path of Pravritimar, which is all karma kamna, which is described in the Vedas, and which is 80% of the Vedas practically, because that was Srila Vyasadeva's problem, why he became morose and yeah. Anyway, that's another story. That he felt he felt not satisfied after writing all these Vedas, because he did not describe the Supreme Lord sufficiently, which is yeah. But only the Karmakanda, this Pravritimar. Because Pravritimar is for those interested in immediate benefit. I want to enjoy now. You live only once, enjoy now. That's the motto in modern society. Everyone says that. But human life is not for enjoyment of the body. That's a mistake. And you don't live one time. You live many times. Already millions of times. But anyway, they believe only what they see with their eyes. And they can only see the body now. But there's also seeing with intelligence. There's seeing through the scriptures. That different levels of seeing. That, but immediate enjoyment, that is what Pravritimar means, and as explained in the Vedas, all sacrifices that one has must do, and strictly following all these rules and regulations, and then one can enjoy in this life and build pious credits. Credits, it's like a bank account, you get pious credits. And with these pious credits, you can go to the heavenly planets. But on the heavenly planets or the higher planetary systems, one does not make karma. It's not the place where karma is made is here, the earthly planets. There, in the higher planets, one exhausts karma. Good karma. If one comes from lower, from animal forms, then one exhausts negative karma, bad karma, and comes up to the human. Both come to the human form again. It's interesting. So you go to the heavenly planets and you can live there maybe for a few million years, but then your bank account is on zero, nearly zero. When it's nearly zero, with the last karma, you get a birth again on earthly planets, the earthly planetary systems. The Earth is just one of these planets, many. And you take the birth again, and there you can start again your cycle of sacrifice and perform again sacrifices and to go up again, up and down. That's the business. Brahmanda Brahmite, Lord Chaitanya says, you go up and down. Brahmanda Brahmite, Bhagyavan, Koni Bhagyavan, Jiva. But when the Jiva becomes fortunate while going up and down, then he meets a Guru, Guru Krishna Prasad. And when the Guru gives Krishna the seat of bhakti, Kone Bhakti Lata Vij. He gives the seat of bhakti, and then the disciple is just watering the seat of bhakti by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this chanting, this acting in Krishna consciousness, destroys all karmic reactions, the good karma and the bad karma. So people who are interested in this pravritti mach, they don't want to worship Lord Vishnu or Krishna. No. Because stay far from him. Because they agree if their bad karma is taken away, but their good karma, no, because they need that to go to the higher planetary systems. They are not worshipping Krishna. Because by performing devotional service, all, if one comes in the cleansing stage, anartha-nivritta, purification stage, then all karma is burnt away, good and bad. It's all gone, because whatever karma is there will cause us to take birth again. Krishna consciousness is uprooting this karma and is uprooting the desire from the heart to enjoy in this world. It uproots that completely. That's the power of bhakti. Therefore, one who is in the process of Krishna consciousness, it is the means and the end. The means and the end means what does a devotee desire? What does he want to attain? He wants to attain pure devotional service. Devotional service. But he's doing already devotional service. May not be pure, but he's doing it. But that devotional service is at the same time the purification process that will bring him to that point. So there is no reason for Arjuna to lament if he follows the order of Krishna and acts on his behalf and kills the aggressors, because Krishna wants it and it is for the pleasure of Krishna. There is no reaction. There is no reaction, and all his previous sinful reactions, they are gone. That's action in Krishna consciousness, especially explained in the 3rd chapter and in the 5th chapter, more in detail. The process is explained. Because he thinks, Arjuna, I'm going to suffer now. If I kill them, so many births, and if I want to enjoy, that's the previous reason, I want to enjoy with them. So it's, but if I kill them, with whom am I going to enjoy? So that's the body conception of life, enjoying. Life is for enjoying, is that he plays that role here, Arjuna. But life is not for enjoying. Life is for enjoyment on the soul level. And that enjoyment is transcendental ecstasy. It's coming from the soul directly. It's just another level of existence. So we are not concerned with this pravritti mach, but with the nivritti mach, the path of renunciation. But the path of renunciation means not being inactive. No, it's an active path, but acting in a renounced way, acting for Krishna. Because if you don't act for Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna, then you act for the body, for the mind, for I in mind. And that we see here with Arjuna, he says, I want to enjoy, means I in mind. Who is going to enjoy the body, which is temporary? So that's a whole misconception. And people are completely in illusion, identifying with the body. I'm going to give pleasure to the body. And that becomes their whole life, their whole existence, to work for the body. But we are not a body. That's the ABC of Bhagavad Gita. Understanding we are not a body. And it's so difficult. For many, it takes years. Just one can't understanding intellectually, that's all right. But then acting according to this knowledge, very difficult. Then that to a certain extent we can accept we are not a body, but I'm not a mind, I'm not my feelings, my willing, my likes, my dislike, I'm not that. I'm not a doer. That's very deep philosophy. That's not easy to understand. But by hearing Bhagavad Gita, we understand how to come to act and free ourselves from these reactions. If you do that, then you start to understand something from Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna says, Bhogasvara Prasaktanam Taya Bhogasvara Prasaktanam Taya Parita, it says that one whose mind become attached to sense enjoyment, then that will cause only disturbance in the mind. That becoming attached to sense enjoyment. That's Bhogasvara Prasaktanam, that becoming attached to sense and enjoyment in the mind, it starts with, by meditating on the objects of the senses. That's the first thing to learn, how to control the senses. We go out and we see so much publicity, and one becomes attracted and start to meditate on it, and then one creates attachment. Yes, I want to enjoy it, I want to have it. Publicity is based on find everywhere publicity, and the conditioned soul falls into the trap every time and becomes attached. What's happening? Anavritam. Jnana tut. No, it's Aptam Jnana Metana, Jnanas Nitya Varina. Kamarapena Kantya, dus Vrenan Alenasa. You can never satisfy this lust. You want always more. You have this chapter 16, the demoniac nature. Life's goal is enjoying. Aham Ishvara Aham Bhogi. I'm the controller. But we don't control anything in our lives. But anyway, we think, I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. Well, neither the enjoyer. What we think is enjoyment is just an absence of suffering for the moment. And then it comes again, the suffering. That is complete illusion, and he's my enemy, because he stands against my enjoyment. I want to enjoy, and he's my enemy. And because his enjoyment is not only eating, it's also enjoying a good reputation. I'm such a good person. demoniac thing. I will give in charity and will be, and I will get a good reputation, a good person. That's what he thinks of itself. That. And in this world there is nothing than sex enjoyment. That enjoyment. Everything is born out of lust, the demoniac things. It's a whole, you come in a whole thing of desire and hate, the economic principle is based on that competition. Competition. I want to be the first, everyone, and the other down. It's all, and that attachment will create so many desires in the mind, and they are never fulfilled. So you get constant, are constant bombarded with frustration and misery, anxiety. Constant anxiety. Yes. People in this, even in modern society, constant anxiety. That, and modern society helps in that anxiety. That you get tax bills, and you get so many rules and regulations to follow. And if you don't follow that, you get punished, and then you, yeah, if you don't pay in time, then you have got a second job, and you become completely crazy in a short time. that's modern society. That because modern society, whole structure is based on I'm the body. So spiritual life means I'm going to reduce all my needs to a minimum, just to keep the body healthy for devotional service. Very simple life. Very simple. Many things we don't need. People think I need the internet to exist, but no, you don't. No, we don't need all these things. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, if we get it, we can use it. But no need to strive for it. On this, we need it for our service. Anyway, this is Arjuna's disease here. Already three diseases, problems we have identified. First was compassion for the body. And Krishna will counteract it in the second chapter. Krishna will say, Ashoshan and Vachoshan Svam. You think you are a pandit, he says to a learned man, you Arjuna. But you are not a learned man. You speak like a fool, because a learned man, he does not lament for the living, neither for the dead. And to clarify that, Krishna speaks 20 verses about all the qualities of the soul. You cannot kill it. You cannot, you cannot slain it. It's never slain. It does not take birth. Cannot be cut to pieces. It's eternal. Does not take birth. Does not die. We are eternal. So Krishna's compassion is misplaced. It's for the body. But it's good news, because if he kills Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Dev will get a new body. So what's he gets rid of his old body and he gets a new one. That's good news. Even if you have to, take birth again, you get a new body. So there is no reason to lament. But when someone dies, all family members start to lament. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who takes birth is sure to die, and one who dies is sure to take birth. So what is there to lament about? Everyone knows that he's going to die, but then if someone dies, then when tears are coming, why? It's just ignorance of the soul, identification with the body. And relations are based on that. This is my father, my mother, my brother. I see, if I look back, now my father died, my mother died, my brother died. So where are they? Gone? It's all gone. All the relationships, all the misery in the relationships, all the so-called good things, which were all also there, it's all gone. It's like Fata Morgana, it's gone. So we should not be attached to the situation as it is now, externally, but internally, we would see the real person in the bodies, and we are eternal spirit souls. As a devotee, we should not be not lament if we have to die. We know we have to go. We should be ready to go every moment, and to give up all these things. And this either. If we think of Krishna, we go back to the spiritual world, or we will take birth in a family of devotee if we practice devotional service. So there is nothing to lament. We continue our service in another body, material or spiritual, but we continue. We depend completely on Krishna. That's also explained in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, at the end of the chapter. Krishna, Arjuna is asking if one performs yoga but he does not reach the perfection, what's happening with him? Does he lose everything or whatever? And Krishna explained in detail, one who has a short practice of devotional service but is still attached to things, to enjoyment, he goes to the heavenly planets, enjoys there for so many millions of years, and then come back and is born in a rich family, so that he does not have to work too much and can dedicate himself again to devotional service. And when one has practiced for a long time, then one and does not reach perfection, then one is born again in a family of pure Vaishnavas, transcendentalists. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, yes, it's like my Guru Maharaj. He took birth in a family of pure Vaishnavas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And also, like my case, my father, Srila Prabhupada, was also pure Vaishnava. So that's for us who are practicing long time and chanting and follow the regulative principles. That's the consoling price. Not so bad. And if you reach perfection, you go back to the spiritual world, where you experience the eternal life of the spirit soul in a spiritual body. But we can experience that also here by engagement in devotional service. to this compassion, this enjoyment, and this sin is the same thing. That so Arjuna said, I will, when I kill them, I will get sinful reactions. And Krishna will later, he will say no, even on the basis of this Dharma Shastra, if a Kshatriya does his duty on the battlefield, just his duty, and he kills the opponent or the rival things, then he's, if he kills them, then he will enjoy the kingdom. That if the Kshatriya is killed on the battlefield, then he is elevated to the heavenly planets and will enjoy there. So there is always benefit, even on the level of karma kanda. On the level of Krishna consciousness, there is a higher benefit when it goes back to the spiritual world. That and so Krishna will explain Bhagavad Gita, the highest benefit, Krishna consciousness, and say forget all the other things, all the other, he explains karma yoga, he explains jnana yoga, astanga yoga, and then he says, oh, forget all this, perform bhakti yoga. Just, that's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadam pradishkamam kamsram vacham tsam sarvabhyam ksisyan simachya. Just surrender unto me. Depend on me. I will take care of all your sinful reactions. I will take them, Krishna says. And he will bring you back to the spiritual world. So, that's what I could say on this first today. Are there any questions or comments?